rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Amen. You know, the only thing really we can control today is how we respond and who we are. And today I pray that you've come to bring something to our Savior and our Creator, to worship, praise, honor. Maybe you'll rededicate your life. You don't have to do anything publicly. But also, I pray you've come expecting to receive. You know, no matter where you're at today, many people in this world would want to trade places with you. So let's go open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll have some special singing, and Brother Frank's going to bring us the announcements, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just to be honest with you, Lord, I have looked forward to this morning for the past 2 or 3 days. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for the church universal, but Lord, I'm thankful for Thomas Village Baptist Church and that you've put me in as a part of it. And we today confess to you our inadequacies, Lord, but we also confess to you our desire to know more about you, to know more about our relationship with you and how that will affect our lives. And so, God, today, Holy Spirit, you're invited into our midst. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
My Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty shelter, power of refuge and strength. Let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you. Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have. Nothing compares to the
December's here, so we're going to be having some freezing weather here. And I also want to welcome those on Facebook watching as well. And I welcome those as well out in the parking lot listening on 88.1. Just a couple of reminders to those. We have opened back up the church here. And if you do come, you are required to wear a mask inside the sanctuary and inside the building. If you have a problem and cannot wear a mask because of health reasons, we've also set up in the fellowship hall that you can go in and sit there, and we've got distancing, social distancing there. So if you want to come back and worship here at the campus, the door's open for everyone. And again, if you don't feel comfortable with either one of those situations, you can come out and join us in the parking lot. We have speakers, and again, we're broadcasting on 88.1. A couple of reminders. Also, too, that tonight our service will be broadcast on Facebook at 6 p.m. And then also Juana will continue to meet online.
Not tonight.
All right. So they're not meeting tonight. Thank you. I should have checked that one out. I'm trying to make sure my notes here. And then Wednesday will be 6 p.m. as well. We'll have service and be broadcasting on Facebook. So we got a lot of options to attend. Also, too, I didn't get to do it really well this morning, but those that you have been attending Thomas Village, you know that we used to have where you could sign up and put down prayer requests as you came in. We're going to begin to do that again. I'll be set up Sunday before the service. And if you'll just give me your prayer request there, I'll be sitting at the table. We're going to put it out onto an Excel spreadsheet and email it to everyone so we don't have to be handing prayer requests to everyone. So we'll be beginning that this morning. So as you leave, if you have a prayer request, and again, I apologize it wasn't out there, give it to me and we'll get it on a list and email it out. And if you wish to be on there and you're not sure we have your email address, you can give me that as well and we'll add you to the list. Ordinarily, you all that have been attending here over the last few years know that we do the Lottie Moon International missions, and we usually use the youth to give Christmas cards out and that kind of thing. And again, in light of the situation we're in, we won't be doing that this year. So as you exit this morning, the deacons will be handing out the envelopes and the forms for the Lottie Moon International Missionary Fund. And again, this goes out to all international missionaries, and we've done a very good job as a church participating in that over the last few years. So we'll be doing that a little bit different. And then wasn't it just good to hear also this morning that we had a choir and had some people in the choir, so it's very good, and I want to praise the Lord for that as well. And just be remembering in prayer for our nation and for all those that are just having to deal with things. Things are different, as we all keep saying. Things are challenging and different. Continue to remember our first responders. Let's continue to remember those in the school system as well and those working. Everybody's affected by this, whether we want to admit it or not. So let's just continue to be in prayer for one another. And the best part about it is the Lord's still in control after all of this. You realize that, you know, end of March, I couldn't even look at you all from up here. It's a blessing to look out and see you all this morning. So I'm so thankful that the Lord's brought us this far and going to continue to take us even farther. So be in prayer as we begin in January. We're going to have a few things going on. We've got a lot of exciting things. Got some people want to be baptized. We've got some people want to join the church. And then we've got a deacon ordination service looks like going to line up as well. So just be in prayer for those. And then let's just be in prayer for our brothers and sisters that can't be here because, again, they're just taking care of things, family needs and friends' needs and trying to help out in the community. And with that, let's go, Lord, in prayer. And then we'll get started in our service this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning that we can be here, and it's so good to hear music from the choir loft this morning, and we just thank you for that. We ask a special blessing, Lord, on Brian as he brings a message this morning, that you would just open our hearts and our minds and we would focus upon your word. You tell us, Lord, to just depend upon you and depend upon your word. So we listen wholeheartedly this morning, asking you to touch us, Lord. And the wonderful thing about your word, Lord, is no matter where we're at in our lives, you can speak to us individually about what needs to change, Lord. And I just ask this morning that if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, that this morning would be the time that they would come forward, Lord, and that they would recognize that and they would accept you as their Savior. And again, Lord, those are out on Facebook and listening also in the parking lot, we ask a special blessing upon them. And we just ask, Lord, that you use this service in a mighty way this morning, Lord, and that we go out to all the world. And again, we thank you for those that are faithful here this morning. And we just thank you, Lord, that as we begin to open back up between our Facebook and those attending in service here, Lord, we're running about 120. And we just thank you for that, Lord. That's such a blessing. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
For the congregation, if everyone that is able to wishes to stand, we're going to sing I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. It's number 305 in the hymnal.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. thee, Jesus, my cross I'll carry, till I see Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back.
First John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us.
When he told you you're not good enough, when he told you you're not right, when he told you you're not strong enough to put up a good fight, when he told you you're not worthy, when he told you you're not loved, when he told you you're not beautiful, you'll never be enough. In your steps, fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fears in the fire, cause fear, he is a liar. Trouble, you'll forever be alone. When he told you you should run away, you'll never find a home. When he told you you were dirty and you should be ashamed. When he told you you could be the one the grace could never change. Fear is a liar. Take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar. He will rob your rest, steal your happiness, cast your fear in a fire.
Let your fire fall and cast out all my fear. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear.
Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears. Let your fire fall, your love is all I fear. Let your fire fall and cast out all my fears.
Some different faces that's going to be ministering to us in music over the next few weeks. Just trying to make sure everybody knows that, praise God, one, we've not been out of business here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, but we want it to be clear that we are in business here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, and that business is to glorify and magnify the name of Jesus Christ so that a world may know that there is a Savior. Hallelujah. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 98. Psalms, chapter 98. And I promise you, as far as I know, Sister Catherine didn't have any idea on what I was preaching on this morning, nor did the group. But that's Psalms, chapter 98. Psalms chapter 98. Those of you that's there in the parking lot, God bless you. It's good for you. Good to know you're out there with us. And then also, those of you that are watching by Facebook Live, God bless you. Again, thank you for allowing us to be a part of your worship experience today. We know it's not about us, but that it's about Christ. And we pray that you will be blessed as you're turning to Psalms chapter 98. But also, we do ask you to share it. If you're out in the parking lot now, we ask you to share it. If you're here in the sanctuary, after we get done, you can share it. Or those that's on Facebook, you can share it. Even if you put it down, say, this is the sorest thing I ever heard. Just go ahead and put it out there anyway, okay? And use us as an example. But as you're turning to Psalms chapter 98, I do have some special prayer needs I would like to lay out before you. I pray that you've had a wonderful Thanksgiving this week. I've been able to recognize what's truly important. But I ask you to be praying for the family of Lindsey Brady. That's a mid-30-something friend of mine. I was her pastor. I was her associate pastor. Family's very precious to me. Her grandfather was one of the first, what I would call my deacons. Even though he was the Lord, he was great to me. But through some issues this week, she's on life support right now. And Miss Bobby Walker, I talked with her this morning. She's going to have to be making some decisions tomorrow about further care. But it's, unless God works a miracle, she'll probably be heading into eternity before long. But I want to remind you today, don't let the world rob you of your hope. We have a God who is able to work miracles. And I pray, I ask for healing with her, but I ask for it, number one, my heart is broken. I love her. But also, I want the world to see that we have a God that's able to raise people up from these situations and lift them up. And then also, we want to pray for Alicia Hill. This is Brother Otis and Sister Lynn's niece. She's already fought a battle with a brain tumor, and it's coming back, so she's going to be back fighting with that. So, Otis's niece. And so we want to pray for them. But praise God, we have a good God, and He is a loving God. And if I had a title for today's message, and we're going to come back to the Scripture, but it's going to be a little bit before we come back to this Scripture. But if I had a title for today's message, as you're turning to Psalms 98, I pray you've already found it there. We're going to be reading all 9 verses. And like I said, we'll be coming back to it. But I had a title for this morning's message. It was 2. Have you lost your song? Or either this, do you have a song? Do you have a song? Stand with me if you would, in honor of God's Word. Psalms 98, beginning in verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly shown in the sight of the heathen. Verse 3, He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and with the sound of a cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and let the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And let the flood waters clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for He cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall He judge the world and the people with equity. Have you lost your song, or do you have a song today? Before we go to the Lord in a word of prayer, you remember a few Sundays ago we sang what I called the doxology. I want to ask you if you would to sing that with me again today, all right? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated, and we'll allow that to be our prayer. That's our doxology. Basically, we're going to talk a little bit about doxology. What doxology means, the term itself means praise and worship, and pronouncing the worth of. As Baptists, we're known for not having any creeds or anything like that. But when what we did just did is we stopped as a group and we recognized the one true and living God in His unity. And at that time, nothing else was in focus but Him and His worth. And so that's why we sing that. But do you have a song, or have you lost your song? As I look back over November's messages, I kindly saw a theme, and that made me look back on over into October, and the theme's kindly been there for a little while. November the 1st, out of Isaiah 46, we talked about God being in control. November the 8th, we talked about comfort that we find in Christ when we talked about the widow of Nain over in the book of Luke chapter 3. I believe it is. November the 15th, this was kindly the exception. It was about evangelize, now more than ever. And that was over out of Matthew chapter 28. And then in Matthew, November the 22nd, last week, we talked about pressing on, putting your head down, having your blinders on, and just pressing on because it's worth it. And so then, like I said, I looked back a little bit, and in October, we talked about being champions of the faith out of the book of Hebrews. And then over October 11th, we talked about power that we find in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. And then we talked about, in October the 18th, we talked about expressing the love of Christ. And again, basically about, except for evangelism, as we look back over these past 2 months and the messages from Sunday morning, we see that we've talked about basically two things. One, who Christ is. And how much we have in Him. Matter of fact, we have more than enough in Christ Jesus than we'll ever need. But also, we looked on about using the gifts and the weapons that we have been given, as 2020 has been a year that started out taking and has not give up taking. I mean, and I posted on Fares and Spares this morning that 2020 is, has, and will continue to test us in some fashion, in some way. But again, and I've said it, and I think everybody amens it, and this is a different time. I know that different generations, they've had their different wars, their different situations, but our ancestors have not been through what we've been through with the things we're going through right now. It's just a different time and a different society. But so today, again, I'm not really going to be preaching about any major new theological truth that you're going to find. It's not going to blow you back with the theology. But really what we're going to be talking about is how to best apply the weapons and the tools that we have so that we can live in joy, victory, and peace in the midst of what we don't know with everything that's going on around us. And today's no different. But the Lord put this question on my heart this week, and I've asked a few people. It started with my wife, and then it drifted on to some of my deacons and then some of our other church members. But I want you to ask yourself this question right now. And some of you, you're going to say, I'm not a music person, but I guarantee that everybody that's ever been created has a song that moves them. some song. May not be many, but everybody has been moved by a song somehow in their life. But I want to ask you, over the past 6 to 9 months, how often do you find yourself just wanting to maybe be a Cinderella princess and just bust out in the song? If you've been like me, it ain't been too often. How often do you find songs? And I'm not talking about songs like da-da-da-da-da, I'm loving it. No, we're not talking about that kind of stuff right there, okay? Because that'll drive you crazy, all right? That kind of stuff will drive you crazy. I'm talking about just a song that you find it in your heart and you keep repeating it. And mainly today, we're going to focus on the truth of how important music is to be in the life of a Christian. But I'm talking about even just different songs. Songs stir you. I asked those people, I said, over the last 6 months, how often do you find yourself singing or having a song in your heart or in your mind? And some of them said, I find it a lot. Now, most of these were women. They said, I just start singing out of nowhere. And most of these were people that are busy around our church at times. There were some that said, I ain't even thought about it. No. And then there was others that said, just to be honest with you, not only do I not have a song in my heart, there's times I don't even want to hear music right now. I'm almost offended by it. Sad to say, they're workers around the church too, very active, and that's where I found my place. I listened over the past few months. I've really been listening more to talk radio or to oldies radio programming or some preaching and teaching. But listen to what CNN Music is powerful. CNN Music put this out, an article in CNN.com on February 20th, 2019, which states, music is present in almost every part of our lives. But just how much can music impact us and the way we act and feel? Research suggests that music can influence us in many different ways. It can impact illnesses, depression, listen to this one, spending, productivity as a worker, and our perception or the way we view the world around us. It focused on how that certain types of music promotes inner city crime. And you see that that's lived out in the inner cities. It's been proven and believed that playing classical music, how many of us heard of Baby Mozart? Many believe that playing classical music to the infant in the womb helps the ability to learn on in life. And I know we've got some soldiers that's in our family here at Thomas Village Baptist Church, and I've had the opportunity to listen to some of the music that they listen to over in Afghanistan and different things like that, and a lot of it's very aggressive, very engaging and uplifting. And then there's also athletes. You listen to their music before they go in, and they're listening to something that's going to motivate them and pick them up, upbeat, to push them. The article went on to say in a 2011 study, 43 students listened to happy or either sad music in the background as they were tasked with doing happy and sad faces. When happy music was played, participants were spotted more happy faces than when sad music was played, when there would be more sad faces. Another article from Healthline.com entitled, Does Music Affect Your Mood?, says that in a 2013 study in the Journal of Positive Psychology found that people who listened to upbeat music could improve their moves and boost their happiness in just 2 weeks. The same study, participants were instructed to try to improve their move, but they only succeeded when they listened to upbeat music. And a happier mood brings benefits beyond good feelings. In a press release, a lead study author, and I'm not going to say that name because it's hard, it's Mr. Ferguson, noted that happiness has been linked to better physical health, higher income, and greater relationship satisfaction. And what I'm about to say tell you about myself might tell how long it's been since I participated in cleaning the house, but what I read in these articles have been proven in my house. When we all four get together and we get to working, usually three of us are listening to the same music. And I promise you, it is not poor, poor, pitiful me type music most of the time. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and be holier than thou and say it's always third day and all that stuff. No, we do listen to different music at different times. But I'm not going to tell you which one of my children it is. But usually it's me and Talmadge and Maddie, and we're working together and we're singing with one another. But I have teenagers, and the thing about teenagers is that they can sleep an entire day away. And with the school schedule being the way it is, guess what? They've even got more adept at sleeping the day away. And so I usually try to wake them up at a certain time of day. And the reason is because we're trying to make it a productive and a beneficial day. That's why are you getting me up at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning? Because we want to make it a productive and a beneficial day. And there's sometimes that they get mad with me. Because I do things like I'm a hound dog and I'll get down in their ears and I'll go like that with them. And I've been known to lick them if they don't want to get out of bed. I'm a hound dog. But I've learned a different way. Sometimes they get mad with me. And they don't want to come downstairs with me. But I found that there's ways I can make it better. And one of my children, and I did this week, just for, I can go find me a little 80s Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers on YouTube, and we go on a trip in a boat down an island in the stream. And you know what happens? Usually both of my children, but at least one of them comes down the stairs with a little pep in their step and a little smile on their face. Why? Because music is powerful. But you know what? Science and us, we're just coming to a point that the Bible and the Creator has made clear for a very long time. The Bible has its very own songbook, the Book of Psalms, that it has 150 songs in it. 17 times in the King James, this is the phrase, sing unto the Lord, sing to God, or sing to Him, used just in the Book of Psalms. The greatest of warrior kings and a man after God's own heart is also known to be the one who prayed music for an insane king to bring him peace, and that is King David. And he himself, we know, has 78 songs or psalms that he wrote. The role of the song service is clearly seen from the Old Testament on ahead. Nehemiah chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. And the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sent for the Levites, whatever they lived, and brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate the joyous dedication with thanksgiving and singing, accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. And the singers gathered from the region around Jerusalem, from the villages of the Nephthalites. Then I brought the leaders of Judah onto the top of the wall, and I appointed two large processions, and they gave thanks. From Exodus chapter 15, where Miriam, the sister of Moses, began to sing praises to God after he delivered them from Egypt and the Red Sea, all the way over to the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 11, where it says, "Then I looked and I heard the voices of many angels around the throne, and also of living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. And they said with a loud voice, 'The Lamb who was slaughtered is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" Throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, music is declared to be in the life of His followers. Specifically, music about Jesus, to Jesus, and for Jesus. Or to our Creator, for our Creator, and about our Creator. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "So don't be foolish, but understand what God's will is. And don't get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart." To who? To the Lord. Have you lost your song? Do you have a song? In Revelation, we also catch a glimpse of our future as music is tied with it, where we will eternally be worshiping and praising. That doesn't mean we'll be singing every moment of the day, but there'll be a lot of singing when we get to heaven. Revelation chapter 14 verses 2 and 3 says, I heard a sound from heaven like the sound of cascading waters and like the rumbling of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like harpists playing on their harps, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. But no one could learn the song except for the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. You see, all through Scripture, we see one thing about music, and that's this. It's a couple of things, really. But one thing is this. Our Creator loves music. He's moved by music. He likes to hear us declare how much we love Him, how worthy He is, how good He is, how much He has done for us. He likes to hear it in music. And you know what? He made us like unto Himself. And we too love music. And we are stirred by music. Even most of us probably believe, I didn't take time to go in the Scriptures, don't know if it can be proved, but there is a belief that even Satan himself was at one time the choir director in heaven. Music is that important. Have you lost your song? Let me ask you these questions as we go through our message this morning. And I'm going to do my best to do it quickly. And I appreciate your willingness to work with us with the mass, because I know it's not easy at times. But do you have a song in your heart right now? What are you singing about? Is Jesus the main theme of your songs? What is the main theme of your song? Because remember, science has proven that the theme can affect, music can affect our health, our psychology, our finances, our relationships, different things like that. But today I want to challenge you again. As we see that we're to be those that sing. Listen to that scripture. It says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Later on it's going to say, make a lot of noise for Him. But today I want to challenge you to have a song. And it's going to make sense in the end. But the first thing, because we've got a lot of things today that's trying to rob you of your song. The first two things I want to talk about today, not to let you rob you of your song, is don't let politics and a pandemic rob you of your song. Don't let politics and a pandemic rob you of your song. Politics. This election seems to have robbed some good and professing believers of their joy in their faith. And there was a saying where it was Trump, guns, and God. You remember that saying? But a lot of people are acting like it was Trump, Trump, and Trump. Praise God, my God's still on the throne. And it don't matter who's in the White House, who's in the courthouse, or anything like that. Praise God, He's still on the throne, and ain't nothing going to happen unless He allows it to happen. Can I ask you this? How much has it ever really affected your day-to-day life about who was sitting in the White House? Now, I know that it can affect our jobs and different things like that, but you know what? Most of us are still, no matter who's in the White House, we're going to have duties, we're going to have tasks, we're going to have things that we're going to have to get done. The calling that God has had on our life, and you know what, whether it be Democrat, Republican, or purple elephant being in the White House, it ain't going to change the way I live my life on a day-to-day basis, praise God. And so we don't have to let that rob us of our song. We can sing how good our God is even when we don't think the right man or the right woman is in the right office. What did Jesus say when He was questioned about the life of government, the role of government in the life of believers? Over there in Matthew, they said, should we pay taxes? He said, yeah, look at it. It says, it's Caesar's anyway, so give Caesar's what is Caesar's. But you know what? Give God's what is God's. And what does God say is His? He says, your life is mine. Every minute of every day of your life is mine. And I have my hand, my calling, and my protection on you. John, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness and all of these other things. Clothing, health care, all that other stuff, it'll be added unto it. Don't let politics rob you of your song. Let me tell you this. Don't let the pandemic rob you of your song. I believe, and some of you might disagree, you might say it's more pride and ignorance, but I believe that God has given me peace concerning the season of the COVID. And I've come to this point. Either I'm going to live through it or I ain't going to live through it. And some of you think that I'm taking that immature. That shows a lack of concern. But really, isn't that true about every day when I wake up out of bed? Either I'm going to live through this day or I'm not going to live through this day. There's no point in me sitting every minute, every minute of every hour of the 24 worrying about, am I going to live through this or I ain't? God's got control of it. And He told me that He's going to take care of me. And if I leave this place, there's a better place waiting for me on this other side. This world is not my home. I am a resident, just as others. Remember Paul said, it is my duty and my privilege not only to seek first the resurrection, but also the fellowship of the suffering. Praise God. Do you have a song? Have you lost your song? Or have you let politics and a pandemic move in and rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your song? Don't sing about Jesus. Sing to Jesus and sing for Jesus. The next thing is this. Don't let persecution and pain rob you of your song. Persecution. Last week we looked at some of the life of the Apostle Paul. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning of verse 24, we saw Paul was beaten 195 times. He was beaten 5 other times, stoned, was in 3 shipwrecks, experienced being overnight in a day in the sea. All of that. Why did he suffer all that? Because he loved and lived for Jesus. You know what? Yes. Yes. When we live for Jesus, we are going to suffer because we are His children. He said that. He said, Jesus said, the world's hated me before it hated you. And just as it hated me, so is it going to hate you. But Paul, in the midst of all that, think about all that. Remember what he said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10? He said, my goal is to know Jesus and to participate in the power of His resurrection, but also to share in the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul, would Paul tell us that it's worth it? Would James and Peter, Steve and all of them, would they say it's worth it? Yes, they'd say it's worth it. And not only is it worth it, but it's a duty, but also it's a privilege for him. James tells us over in chapter 1, of verse 2 of his book, it says, consider it a great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, he says, rejoice in this, though that for a short time you may have had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuine of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes through refined by fire, may result in praise, honor, and glory. Or in other words, God is using, yes, God, He has not made it any secret that, yes, when we live for Him, there's going to be persecution, not just because of life, but specifically because we are living for Him. But He also says that these difficulties, these hardships, these persecutions, they are making us more like Jesus every day. Along, it will produce praise, glory, and honor to the Lord in our life. So, don't let politics or a pandemic rob you of your song. Don't let persecution rob you of your song. And don't let pain rob you of your song. There's a lot of pain. Many times, and you've heard me say this, and you hear it, Job chapter 14, verse 1 is one that I try to keep myself mindful of. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. There's emotion, there's physical pain. Brother Keith, with the inflammation of his heart, as he had that peritonitis or whatever it was, I'm not even going to try to say it again. I tried one time. But he said that when he would take a breath that it would feel like somebody was tearing his chest apart, and when he did exit go, it would be ease. Pain. I was talking to Brother Keck after he'd had some work done on his hips, and he was telling me about the arthritis and all that. Well, guess what? When I turned 42, I got arthritis in my thumb. And there's times that I can't even hold on to a cup with that one hand because of the pain that's in that cup. And I got to thinking about Brother Jay Keck and him having it all in his hips and his waist all the way down. There's that pain. There's emotional pain. I just told you about Lindsay and what's happened down there, but then there's Sister Vanessa Jesse, Brother Kay, and the rest of Miss Wilma's family. Today's the 9th day since she's had a stroke, and they've been sitting bedside. Emotional pain. But I hear the strength of the Holy Ghost in Sister Vanessa's voice when I talk to her. There's spiritual pain. If you're a Christian today and you've got unconfessed sin in your life, you should be in pain. It hurts not to be right with the Lord. There's the pain of our brothers and sisters, our friends and our family that are dying and going to hell. But you know what? Literally, there's coming a day when there will be no more persecution and no more pain. Do y'all know that? Literally. Listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 and 56 through 56. It says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trump of God will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible, and we will be changed. For this corruptible must be clothed in incorruptibility, and this mortal must be clothed with immortality. When this corruptible is clothed with incorruptibility, and this mortal is clothed with immortality, then is the saying that is written will take place. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Now the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying that there's coming a time, because of what Christ Jesus has done, that physical, emotional, and spiritual pain will be but in the rearview mirror. But listen at this. This is the kicker right here. This is where I wanted to start. You know, I wanted to get to this point. Listen what Revelation says is going to happen to our pain. Listen. Revelation 21, 3 through 4. Then I heard a voice from the throne. Look, God is dwelling with humanity, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself would be with them and be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eye. Death will no longer exist. Grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because the previous things have passed away. Don't let something that is temporary rob you of the joy and the hope. Don't let politics rob you of your song. Don't let a pandemic rob you of your song. Don't let persecution rob you of your song. Don't let pain rob you of your song. Why? Because our God is bigger than all of it. And He says it's just temporary. You know what? I can see the light at this end of the tunnel of corona season now. I can. I'm hoping it's faster than what I see it coming, but I can see it. And you know what? When I read Scripture, even though I see that all this tribulation and stuff is having to come to pass, and I don't like that it's happened in my lifetime, I can take hope and joy in the fact that He said it had to happen. If I'm going to make it to Him, this has to happen. How's your song today? Do you have a song in your heart? Don't let persecution, pain, politics, pandemic, don't let it rob you of your song. And then I got one more, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but don't let other people rob you of your song. Like I said, we know how people can be, and especially in difficult times, it gets more clear. People are willing to be mean, they're willing to be rude, they're willing to be hurtful, as long as they can come out first and experience less pain than others. Even good religious people will hurt you. And like I've said before, there's no hurt like church hurt. Jesus, if it wasn't for good and religious people in His life, He'd have had a whole lot easier time. It was the good religious folks that fought His ministry, that laid traps out for Him to fall in, that mocked Him and ultimately brought Him to the death on the cross. Don't let other people rob you of your song. Ecclesiastes, how do we deal with other people, mean people? Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verses 21 and 22 says this: don't pay any attention to everything people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you. For you know that many times you yourself have also cursed others. He said, they're not guilty of doing anything that you've not done yourself. See, we can't control what they say about us. All we can do is control who we are. Just like in the daytime, when we wake up in the daytime, we don't know if this is going to be the last day or not. All we can control is how we live for Him and how we impact others for Him. But see, that's what all this stuff around us right now is. Politics, pandemic, persecution, pain, other people. That's tactics of the enemy to get your focus off of Jesus. So what I want you to do,
You know, we should focus on that. He wants to take away your hope. He takes away your joy. He wants to take away your peace. He's doing a pretty good job of it in 2022, ain't he? But you see, we've been given a tool. And that tool is song. And you know what? The Bible says that we're to bring to God sacrifices of praise, of singing, and worship. You see, what we don't recognize about singing, one, it's a command. We sing that this morning. We see through all the Scripture that we are commanded to sing to Jesus, for Jesus, and about Jesus. To our Creator, for our Creator, and about our Creator. Just like we're commanded to pray, right? But how many of you have to fight and make yourself bow a knee many times? How many of you have to fight and say, I'm going to just, my body don't feel like it, but I know I need to, and if I just get my body there, it'll get there sooner or later. Amen? Well, guess what, men? And I won't say it's men because, like I said, many of the are the ones who lose their songs many times. And women. Sometimes we just have to say, I don't feel like singing right now, but I'm going to sing to you, Lord, because you're worthy of it. Worthy is the Lamb. How's your song? I was really just going to use this scripture this morning as kind of like a diving board, but as I looked at it, you can break it down almost into three paragraphs, and it's really awesome what it says. Look there in verses 1 through 3. It says, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for, and I'm not going to read all that, but I want you, we read it before, I want you to notice a few things. While we can still sing, whether politics, pandemic, pain, persecution, other people, we still can sing. Look what he says. He says, I want you to sing a new song. When he says a new song, he says, I want you to sing a fresh song. Meaning, I want you to sing something recent. Don't sing one that you've already sung to me. I want you to sing a new one. And praise God, we know that if we're alive every day, that we have a God that is actively engaged in our life and that we have a reason to sing because the Creator of all things thinks we're important enough to be a part of it. But look what he says. He says, I want you to sing about His marvelous things, meaning that God has done extraordinary things in your life. I want to tell you this. Last week, it was real tough for me. I'd had a rough week. It was just like a wave. Everything, some friend was getting hurt or something was going on. I went to the deacons last Sunday morning and said, really and truly, I got to confess to you this morning. I need to be preached to. I'm not the one that needs to be preaching. But this week, it's been different. Why? Because God gave me a song. He gave me a song, and you ask my family, they've heard me sing more this week than they've heard me sing in 6 months. Am I lying? He says, sing about His marvelous things. Sing about His right arm, who's won the victory. Who sits at God's right hand? Come on. Who sits at God's right hand right now? Who has won the victory? So who do we sing to? Jesus, amen. That's right. We sing because He has won the victory. He goes on in verse 2, he says, He's made known His salvation. Where is His foundation? Salvation found. It's found in Jesus. Sing to Jesus. It says, it goes on to say that He has made His righteousness openly revealed to the heathen, or basically the Gentiles. To those that were not His people, praise God, we can sing because He's revealed it to us. Then he goes on to say, he says, sing His mercy and His truth. He has been merciful and truthful to the nation of Israel. Today we have that promise as well. Praise God. Every day He gives me mercy and He has never lied to me. Sing to Jesus. Sing for Jesus and sing about Jesus. In paragraph 2, verses 4 through 6, he says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praises. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. Sing with the harp and with the voice of psalms. With trumpets and with the sounds of the cornet, make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Here he's saying, let's get some instruments in on this thing, man. Let's play the harp, let's toot the trumpet. And then he says, let's play the cornet. And I tried to find out, that's a different trumpet. So let's play two kinds of trumpets and all that. What is he saying? He's saying, invest some time in your singing. Invest some effort in your singing. Put some work in your singing. It is a sacrifice of praise, and He is worthy of us singing to Him. But you know what? It does us good. How many of you can cut on a song and go back to a memory you had with your spouse? You know what? That's what happens when we sing to Jesus. We, the bride, can go back to special times with the groom. And remember and reminisce, but also we look ahead at the things. And then look at this. Paragraph 3 reminds us that we're not the only ones singing. We ain't the only ones singing. Verse 7 says, let the seas roar and let the fullness thereof, let the world and they that dwell therein, let the floods clap their hands. Can't you just see that as the waves are crashing? When the waves crash, it's they're clapping their hands to their Creator. That's one thing I love about hunting. I ain't killed nothing in 4 years now. I do got an itchy trigger finger, so just letting that be known. But I sit out there, and it's amazing because I'm sitting out there, and then I hate a crow. That's what they do. I hate them. But I don't shoot them because I don't eat them. And then you get the crow going, raw, raw. I'm like, shut up. And then here comes the blue jay. And then here comes the cardinal. And here comes the whippoorwill. And then the squirrel, it gets in on it. And you know what that is? That is nature simply saying, worthy is the Lamb. You crazy, Brian. You don't know what they're saying. And I say it's closer to that than any other thing else we could sing. Listen, we're not the only ones singing. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 19, verse 40, he says, and he answered and he said unto them, remember when Jesus came riding in the week before his death? And they were singing and they got mad with him because they were saying that he was the Messiah and he's the king. And said the religious leaders, you know, the good religious people said, shut them up. And Jesus said over in the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 40, he said, I tell you that if these hold their peace, that even the stones would immediately cry out. I've heard the old saying, ain't no rock gonna sing for me. Amen. Where's your song at today? Do you have a song? But then also, if you read over in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 19 through 20, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but it says this, that all of creation does what? Groans. Makes a noise for what? Return. Worthy is the Lamb. Please return, O Lamb. Come back. You see? Of all the things that's trying to rob us of our song, none of them is worth taking our song. None of them are stronger than our Savior. So in closing, do you have a song? Is there one in your heart, one on your lips? If so, what are you singing about? And is Jesus the main theme of your song? This week as I was studying, I said last week that basically during this time of our isolation, myself and the deacons, our main focus is trying to get more of the gospel, more theology, what we believe and what we teach that's out there. But as I was studying for this lesson this week or this sermon this week, God took me back to a sermon I preached here back in 2017 called Theology and Doxology. Theology, remember, theology is what is taught and what we believe as a church. But doxology is the praise and the worship that goes along with it. A church that only focuses on theology, we will probably be dry and very legalistic. But a church that only focuses on doxology, just feels good, shout it out, you know, all that, let's have a rock concert every time we get together, all that kind of stuff. They're probably very emotionally based, but probably shallow when it comes to theology. You see, there has to be the mix. And what God told me this week was, you've been having a lot of theology, buddy. Time to get a little doxology in your life. I believe there's a lot of people today. We've made up our mind. We're going to plow because it's our duty. We're going to press on in Jesus' name. But you know what? We don't have to do it just out of duty. Because see, He's given us tools that will give us joy in the pressing on. That will give us hope in the pressing on. That will give us peace where there is nowhere peace to be found. You see, like I told you, last week I told the deacons I needed to be prayed for. That's why Brother Ken taught that night. I said, I need to be taught too. And as the week was going on, Sunday morning, the Lord began to work on me about this message. And I was down. Brother Gary sang a song. Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed. the victory is won. I can say that it is well. So when I got one in me, there's another one. I thought, well, you know, there might be another one. So then I went the third day. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, love for the broken heart. There is peace and forgiveness, mercy and grace. It meets you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. And you know, if two's good, what? My wife gets on to me because this is my mentality, and lots of times it don't work the way it should. But if two's good, three ought to be better, right? What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And when He takes me by the hand and leads me through my promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Have you lost your song? Brother John, would you please escort Sister Nancy to the piano? And Sister Nancy, we're going to close out this morning with page 330. And we're going to do the extra verse with it, okay? But here's the invitation. Do you have a song? Is there a song in your heart? Is there a song on your lips? If you do have a song, is it about Jesus or what's the theme of your life? Because remember, the pie chart, the more Jesus is the center of our life, whether it be through telling others about Jesus, telling others about what Jesus has done, spending time in prayer, singing, spending time in singing, the more we have, the more peace and joy and hope will be in our lives. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the individual." Do you have a song today? Is it the right song? Do you want a song? In the middle of all that is going on around us today, we have tools to help us keep our joy, to keep our peace. And like I said, praise and singing can many times be a physical fight, just like prayer. And even though we don't feel like singing praise to start out with, we need to start singing to His glory and to His name. It is a sacrifice of praise. Has the stress and the instability, the politics, the persecution, the pandemic, the pain, the people, has it robbed you of your song? Won't you just ask for it back? Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you, especially if it's for His glory and our growth in Him. Maybe today you're under a lot of stress and pain in your life because as a Christian, you've got unconfessed sin. You're holding on to it. You know, unconfessed sin will rob you of your song too. Maybe you just want to come and lay it down on the altar and say, I give it to you, Jesus. You know what? I might have to do it again tomorrow. Maybe you today you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you know what, don't know what I'm talking about when I talk about having a song in your heart that gives you joy, peace, and hope. Really, it's because of who we're singing about, and that is Jesus. And I'd love to show you what the Bible says. Maybe today you need to be baptized. Maybe you need to join Thomas Village. But man, I'm telling you, I'm expecting some good things to start happening around here. But we got to keep our joy. He wants us to keep our joy. Remember the joy. Jesus first, others second, ourselves last. So here's what I want to do. I want you to know the altar's open, and maybe you just need to come, rededicate, ask for your song back or whatever. But I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and I want you to open up your song book. You may not need it, but open up to page 330. How many of you already know what 330 is? See, like I know 307. That's one of my favorites. But I want you to sing this with me this morning, and I want you to sing it like you mean it, okay? Sister Nancy.
That saved us.
bless you. Thank you for being attentive this morning. Do we have any words of testimony or anything like that before we close? The 13th. Yes, any questions about that, call Sister Tammy, Brother Wayne. They'll get you where you need to be. Amen. Don't forget about the Lottie Moon International offering. Get your envelope and give to the glory of the Lord. Brother Wayne.
There's a link on our website.
Link on our website. Lottie Moon. Good deal. John. Potatoes. Don't you love potatoes? And ham. It's lunchtime, ain't it? Brother John, would you come close us out in a word of prayer this morning? I love you, but nobody loves you like Jesus. And if you don't remember anything else about today, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him, He'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. Brother John.
In a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this message here this morning, Father, Lord. Lord, just I pray that it just stirs our hearts, Father, because you are worthy of a joyful noise, Father. Lord, just to let it apply it, and Lord, just be with us through this whole week until we come to you again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless y'all.